Vaishman, O King Prachini Barhisat, Dishtakaranaha, the order carriers of death, Prajvara, with Prajvara, Kalakanyabhyam, and with Kalakanya, Vicheruhu, traveled, Avanim, on earth, Imam, this. Translation. The great sage Narada continued, My dear king, Prachini Barishat, afterward, the king of the Yavanas, whose name is Fear Itself, as well as Prajvara, Kalakanya, and his soldiers, began to travel all over the world. You say after me, the great sage Narada continued, My dear king, Prachini Barishat, afterward, the king of the Yavanas, whose name is Fear Itself, as well as Prajvara, Kalakanya, and his soldiers began to travel all over the world. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The period of life just prior to death is certainly very dangerous because usually at this time people are attacked by the weakness of old age as well as many kinds of disease. The diseases that attack the body are compared here to soldiers. The soldiers are not ordinary soldiers, for they are guided by the king of the Yavanas who acts as their commander-in-chief. The word Dishtakaranaha indicates that he is their commander. When a man is young, he does not care for old age, but enjoys sex to the best of his satisfaction, not knowing that at the end of life, his sexual indulgence will bring on various diseases, which so much disturb the body that one will pray for immediate death. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. So the translation again, the great sage Narada continued, My dear king, Prachini Barishat, afterwards the king of the Yavanas, whose name is Fear Itself, as well as Prajvara, Kalakanya, and his soldiers began to travel all over the world. Here is some knowledge, some useful information. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. So this is not generally well known, but actually it is a principle of Ayurvedic medicine that this is the case, that semina is one of the vital elements of the body, not just male bodies either, it's in female bodies. This is also unknown, maybe, I don't know. And when there is excessive sex in youth, then it actually causes a weakening of the whole bodily constitution, so that the pangs of old age will be there because of this sex indulgence in youth. It says, at the end of life, when a man is young, he does not care for old age. They think it never comes. Or they think it's other people. They see old people suffering. They do not think that this is my future. It's part of the illusion of youth, as it thinks it goes on forever. But enjoys sex to the best of his satisfaction, not knowing that at the end of life, his sexual indulgence will bring on various diseases, which so much disturb the body that one will pray for immediate death. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. So, of course, this knowledge pertains to social policy. How much money is being spent? This is a big subject for debate. The medical care of elderly people, because it's felt that society has some obligation to protect old people. So old age is there, and it's a huge cost which must be borne by those who are still young. It's thought that right now, for example, that the population of the United States is becoming old. There was a baby boom after the war, and now, in a few years, those people will be the elderly people, and there are fewer young people. Yet these young people will have to support the elderly people. People who are looking ahead, as this bulge in the age population moves up, they can foresee that in 20 years, the whole health services of the country are going to be overburdened. Because typically old people suffer a lot, and by the sides of their beds there's a small forest of pill bottles. They're taking 8-9 different kinds of pills, something for the arthritis, something for the osteoporosis, something for the irregular heartbeat, something for the pancreatic or diabetic insufficiency, so on, so on, so on. It goes on, this list. So there's a whole thing of chemicals. As it goes on, as they get struck down more and more, because this happens. Now, things begin to fall apart. The body does not repair itself as well. Anyway, this is what happens. So, what the business of people should be, say, here's some knowledge. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. People will be loath to believe this, but actually, the government should take this into account, and therefore, as a matter of social policy, should understand that the price will be paid for sex indulgence, and therefore, it is of interest. Everybody has an interest in. And fostering a system of brahmachari life. This is standard Vedic culture. Brahmachari life means no sex indulgence until you're 25 years old. So because of that, people become healthy. They remain very healthy. And they are able to live very productive lives in the old age. They aren't crippled. So actually, the fact is that brahmachari life is not advocated in Vedic literature for the purpose of, for health purposes. Neither, say, is not eating, killing and eating animals advocated for practical purposes of health. But these are side effects. These are the fringe benefits of Vedic civilization. Actually, all the fringe benefits are there. The point is that we have to be convinced about that, just as here's a fringe benefit. If you become Krishna conscious and raise your children properly and do not expose them to the structure of civilization, so that the temptations, opportunities, the exhortations to sex indulgence will be minimized. The social institutions are such that it is expected to minimize sex indulgence. Then the huge problem of what to do with so many old people who are invalided out will be solved. And it'll get worse too, because sex indulgence, of course, makes people very selfish and greedy. And what you will see is that when there are so many old people who are such a burden to the younger people, not much appreciated, then the question of euthanasia will start to be debated again. I say, well, mercy killing. Wouldn't somebody? Why are we spending so much money to keep these useless people alive? That maintaining all these old people is too high a social cost. This is the expression you read: too high a social cost. Too high a social cost means it's too much, takes too much time, and takes too much of our money. It's not worth it to us to take care of these old people. So we'll kill them. Doing it with babies that are not yet born. So they'll also do it with old people because it is a selfishness that comes from overindulgence and sense gratification. And these people, of course, and they're so illusioned that they say we put this policy on the old people now that they don't understand that it'll be used on them when they're all so old. But anyway, the point here that I want to talk about is that when there is Krishna consciousness, automatically everything else is taken care of. And this actually has to be our conviction. That Krishna consciousness is so perfect because it is Krishna's system, that if the lives of people are dedicated to Krishna consciousness and we've solved that one problem of our relationship with Krishna, then automatically, without any extra endeavor, all other problems are automatically solved. This means that we can dedicate 100% of our effort to Krishna consciousness. We do not have to reserve anything else for our other problems. People say to us, oh, what would happen, they say, if everybody became like you? Wouldn't everything come to a stop? No, then everything would go. It's coming to a stop now. But everything would go. But all these problems, the social problems that we have, you just read, if you look at the newspaper yesterday, a couple of days ago, in the health page, another big problem is for old people, especially women, is osteoporosis, the leaching out of calcium from the bones, and therefore bones become weak, brittle, people shrink, develop humps in their backs and so on like that, osteoporosis. So study shows that there's a certain element called boron which prevents osteoporosis. Boron is available in vegetables, and therefore it's discovered that when they look at populations that are vegetarians, like the Seventh-day Adventists, they have significantly lower incidence of osteoporosis because they eat sufficient vegetables and things like that, green leafy vegetables and so on, so they don't get boron and no osteoporosis. And, you know, you read things like this all the time. So these are the side effects or the fringe benefits of Krishna consciousness. So the same thing, one thing about brahmachari life is that people will not have so much disease. They'll be fit and healthy even in their old age. They won't be all bent up, crippled in so many different ways. Because it may be too late for many of us to have this knowledge, but at least the future generations can be spared. So the problem is, if we try to propagate this Vedic understanding that if we simply satisfy Krishna, we reconnect with Krishna, we serve him, then automatically all problems will be solved. People say, oh, this is your religion. But this is not being put forward as a religious proposal. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. This is put forth as fact. It's knowledge. It's Veda. It's Vedic knowledge. So this is we have to be very careful about being, co-opted by a certain way of looking at things. And that certain way of looking at things puts everything we do in this category called religion. That this is your religion. But Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada states at the very outset, is not a religion. And we cannot think of ourselves as a... Well, for tax purposes, it's all right. But that's just to fit in with their conventional ideas. Brahmins are not supposed to be taxed anyway. But what we are talking about is not religion. It's just simply about what is true. Here, I wanted to read the very beginning of this Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's, something people don't read very much, the preface. Here's how Prabhupada begins Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, we must know the present need of human society. And that's what we're talking about. What do we need? And what is that need? Human society is no longer bound by geographical limits to particular countries or communities. Human society is broader than in the Middle Ages, and the world tendency is toward one state or one human society. The ideals of spiritual communism, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are based more or less on the oneness of the entire human society, namely the entire energy of living beings. So what we're talking, Srimad Bhagavatam is addressed to, has to do not with this culture or that culture or this people or that people, but everybody. Not only all human beings, actually, but all living entities. The need is felt by great thinkers to make this a successful ideology. What will unite everybody? What is it that will bring about oneness of all human beings? Because we're not separated anymore. Not that people can live in their enclaves and not deal with each other and their differences. It's not like that. So what is it? There's a factor, something is needed that will unify all human beings. And he says, not even all human beings, all living beings. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need in human society. It begins, therefore, with the aphorism of Vedanta's philosophy, Janmadhyasya Yataha, to establish the ideal of a common cause. There we go to the common cause. What is the common cause? That from which everything has its origin. Srimad Bhagavatam is interested in that. The absolute truth. That from which everything has its origin. That's just universal. That's where we begin. So we're not talking about this philosophy or that philosophy, this religion, that religion. We're talking about what is the common origin of all things. So it's about truth. Human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. It has made rapid progress in the field of material comforts, education, and economic development throughout the entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the social body at large, and therefore there are large-scale quarrels even over less important issues. There is a need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship, and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fulfill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. In other words, it's not a religion. It's a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization. Cultural presentation. We used to say this, when I became a devotee, we used to say this all the time, Krishna consciousness is not a religion. And it's a useful thing to say. Nowadays, sometimes for public relation purposes, we don't want to be persecuted. We may say, oh, we're a religion, religious minority. But that's just conventional speaking. But if we speak like that, we start to think like that, this is our religion. You watch out, because this vocabulary If you start using somebody else's vocabulary, pretty soon you've got their whole world picture. And their world picture is false. It's based on a mistake. I'll go back to that. I want to finish this, and then I'll go back and talk about that. So as a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society, Srimad Bhagavatam should be introduced also in the schools and colleges, for it is recommended by the great student devotee Prahlad Maharaj in order to change the demonic face of society. So he says it should be introduced in all schools and colleges. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean read as a sample of Hindu scripture. It means that it should be taught the same way that electricity is taught, and physics is taught, and chemistry is taught. It's truth. It's not the best we hope for is that somebody will read it as a scripture. What is a scripture? This is not a scripture. We say, yeah, this is our scripture, but we're lying. Because we're using this word scripture. See, every time we talk to some reporter or somebody who doesn't know what Krishna consciousness is and say, yes, this is our religion, it's a branch of Hinduism, this is our scripture, we're actually being false to what Krishna consciousness is about. And then if we say that to other people, I remember the time